We are here together at NomPro Studios discussing a topic that's near and dear to every geek's heart, movies you love to hate or vice versa. This is a thing geeks do now, right? Watching terrible movies and enjoying the hell out of them.
Thank you, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, seriously, like the show that launched an entire genre.
This is literally just, you know, another example of nerddom going mainstream, really.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous. Between that and Riff Tracks and Cinematic Titanic, I should probably list something that isn't one of the three companies involved from the people from MST3K. But no, seeing The Room or The Disaster Artist in theaters and everyone just having a ball definitely means there's this aspect in all our lives of enjoying a thing that's bad. And we're gonna go into some of our favorite things. Very unstructured show, but I think we should begin. First thing I want to state is I want to know if these movies count. All right, I've got a couple on my list that I feel immediately people are gonna shut me down. So I'm gonna treat these as films that are unpopular or bad, just like empirically bad, but I enjoy the hell out of. Con Air.
I love that movie.
That's a good
movie. It's one of my favorites.
1997, Jerry Bruckheimer, Con Air.
I have never seen that movie all the way through.
Really?
I have desperately wanted to. That and The Rock.
Yes. I haven't seen The Rock all the way through.
Oh my God, The Rock is amazing too.
I've sat down at least a dozen times to each of those movies with the intention of watching it and have been called away for whatever reason.
Interesting.
Don't forget, we're hitting our first motif now, though, of Nicolas Cage movies.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Wicker Man was on my list for a moment, and then I had to remove it. We'll see what happens.
Drive Angry.
Oh, God.
Anything where he just makes his
all of the Nicolas Cage-ness. I was almost like Ghostbusters, but it's Ghost...
Rider.
Ghost Rider. Actually, I would see the crossover. I would watch Ghostbusters meets Ghost Rider. I watched the hell out of that.
Pope went with the Nicolas Cage line. I was going to go with the Jerry Bruckheimer theme, and I actually had Armageddon, too.
Armageddon is... All right, I think that's another one of those we have to outlaw, because like it's terrible.
I watch it every time it's on.
It's great, but it's super popular.
It was Titanic in space.
Yeah.
Because you had the big theatrical...
Titanic was on my list.
I mean, you have that gigantic, you know, crazy big super budget. You have, you know, the not quite star-crossed lovers like they do in Titanic. But, and then, you know, you have that big Aerosmith song a la, you know, Celine Dion,
it
like
took
from Titanic.
Me a minute to think of who the star-crossed lovers were, and I was like, Ben Affleck and Bruce Willis? And I was like, yeah,
that's why I was like,
right.
They were not quite, because he was like, all right, he's going to die, and he didn't.
I forgot that AOM was in it. Yeah,
it's subtext.
Yeah, sure was. So, yeah, I'm gonna outlaw
also
Armageddon.
Also, Steve Buscemi in The Bomb.
Armageddon's got Steve Buscemi. You can't be a bad movie with Steve Buscemi. So Con Air's out. Armageddon is out. All right, my last one that I feel like people will not allow me to have it, and this is maybe iconic, like the watermark for these kinds of movies, is Roadhouse. 1989's Roadhouse.
You like Roadhouse?
Patrick Swayze. I love Roadhouse.
Never seen it.
It's the best movie.
I question its eligibility on terms of bad.
Because it's inherently
it's
like
how is it
good.
A bad movie?
All right, good. So we are on the same page with this. It is a great film that no one could argue.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
it's like saying I don't like Citizen Kane.
I think the rest of the movies on my list, anyways, are probably more like, all right, I'm going to have to explain why I enjoy it. But those are the ones I'm going to. Anybody else have a movie that you think you're not going to? It's not going to pass. People are going to argue with you.
Mortal Kombat.
All right. Mortal Kombat's on my list.
Mortal Kombat.
That's the thing, because everybody's like, it's so bad, and the sequel's even worse, and I love both of them.
No,
yeah.
The sequel is terrible,
the sequel
should be on my list as a terrible movie.
But the movie is great. So I'm not going to say that's on the list, because I don't think it's enough to say a lot of people like it. Like, Mortal Kombat, it's a bad movie. It's not a good movie at all.
I beg to differ.
You may enjoy it, but it's a bad movie. I think that's perfect for this one. It's also on my list. I went to see this movie when it was in theaters, figure out my age. I was in high school at the time, I think. And then I left the theater with my friends, and we went to buy the soundtrack on audio cassette. Because we were like, this is baller. We need to listen to this driving down in our parents' Geo. I don't know what cars we had. I don't remember. But yes, stupid decision, but great. Yeah, what do you think about Mortal Kombat?
everything.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It, it was so fun.
Christopher Lambert, for some reason.
Yeah, as Raiden, yeah.
And that's like, I don't even know. I guess that's early whitewashing.
But, and in a tournament like Mortal Kombat, we didn't get a, there can be only one out of him.
Yeah, it's true. It was probably in his writer.
I'm thinking he took the role because he wanted it to be his turn to be cast against racial type. After watching Sean Connery in Highlander.
As the Egyptian
immortal. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. All right, good. I accept that.
I do have one to question the validity of.
Okay.
How about Revenge of the Sith?
Ah. So you're saying you like it even though it's empirically bad. I think it's hard because it's a big blockbuster. This may be one of those, like, I don't know. Yeah, I think this. I accept this.
Are you trying to say that movies, like, if they cost over $100 million, can't be bad? Because I've seen Battleship,
made over a billion dollars. It's hard to say that empirically this is bad so many people like
it. My question is it universally considered as bad?
Yeah.
Or approaching universally?
To be honest, if anything, I've heard that film get the best treatment of all the prequels. So I think it's odd. So you enjoyed that movie?
I did enjoy that movie. I liked that one.
Really?
Yeah.
All the way through?
Yeah. You know what? I'll do you one better.
Okay.
I liked Attack of the Clones.
Good. All right. So what part of that insult to your intelligence? No, I can't even remember half of Attack of the Clones. Like, I don't know why they were in that arena when the animals were eating them. What was that? When did that happen? What was the context of that?
They got captured.
Yeah, Obi-Wan got captured.
How?
By the bug people?
Count Dooku and his bug people.
It's still not telling me what. Interfering with what? What was
the creation
plot
of the droid army?
Oh.
Or furthering of the droid army.
Well, weren't they in a water planet and this was a desert planet?
No, that was two different places.
Yeah, right.
Obi-Wan went to the desert planet after he went to the
I just want
to
point out that we're not even talking about Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, now this has become Attack of the Clones, and I feel the need to defend Attack of the Clones.
Sure.
Because Yoda doing flips was awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had a same moment like with that. And, like, Iron Man 2, which also people say is a terrible movie, that, like, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, this is what we've been waiting for kind of moment when you're watching that movie, you know?
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I don't know what moment you're talking about in that movie, but I understand
the Yoda
concept.
Lightsaber moment.
Yeah, see,
I don't remember Yoda and his lightsaber in Iron Man 2, though.
Oh.
He was there. You drunk?
All right, so
we
skipped over a couple of movies in the very beginning, but that's because I think there was arguments whether they count.
Yes.
So our first one that officially counts is definitely Mortal Kombat, because the soundtrack and the weird casting and the no acting. No acting anywhere near that film. It was like they got like sports people in a film. It was the Blues Brothers of a sports movie, if that makes sense, of a martial arts movie. I also think
it was the Blues Brothers 2000 of sports.
Let's not talk about Revenge of the Sith. I think also. I think yeah, you could. There's a whole host of people who say that the prequels are better than we give them credit for, and I
understand
I'm fine
if you
with
want
accepting
to disallow it, disallow it.
All right, what's another movie on our list?
Howard the Duck.
Okay, that I think is
universally reviled.
Yeah,
loved.
All right,
do like the movie. I watch it any time I see it on. If anybody even bothers to play it anymore,
yeah,
that's a family tradition for us.
Is it really?
Why Howard the Duck?
Is it like a weird game of chicken?
Of duck.
It's like I dare you to turn it off first,
barring any. Thing currently with the man, Jeffrey Jones owned that movie.
Okay. Fair enough. You've qualified it enough for me. Yeah. It's a weird film because I remember people speaking there was so much anticipation for it before it came out, partially because of the practical effects of the duck costume. Whatever. Oof. Yeah. And also, as I recall, it was like right at the edge of like comic book movies. Can they work? Can they not work? And this is an underground comic. I remember it was like everyone talked a big game and being confused as hell when I saw the movie. But you were like,
from what I remember, the context there, Howard the Duck was like on the verge, as the comic book character, was right on the verge of being about to break out as this huge counterculture icon. Am I wrong? He was like Marvel's Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah, but I mean,
but he had already been out for at least 15 years before. No, the movie.
But yeah, and but he was really starting to catch on as an icon.
It's definitely
he was running for president.
Yeah, it was definitely. I think they were trying. They were pushing him. I think they were pushing him for this. It's one of those things where it's like everything lined up. It's a little bit like, which I almost want to bring up Demolition Man, which is kind of on my list.
That's on my list.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those movies where like you're seeing everybody pointing at this is going to be a blockbuster. This is going to be amazing. Yeah. And then it comes out and people are like, I don't know about this thing. And that was what I felt with Howard the Duck. With Demolition Man, a little more so in that I remember the weird tie-ins that were associated with Demolition Man that never quite got traction. Like the kids' meals and the...
All the fast food joints.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Which is weird considering the context of that movie.
Yes, very. But I do enjoy a good Demolition Man. I think it's on the edge of being really crap, but I don't know how popular this film is and whether people are allowing me to accept this in my heart.
I allow you to accept it in your heart.
Thank you.
Because if nothing else, you taught us about how to use the three seashells.
Yeah, that has bothered me since 1993. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
So if we're going with campy comic book movies, I would say I love, and you can't argue this is a good movie, Batman and Robin.
Oh,
I put that on the one I hate. I just despise.
All right, fight.
Can never watch that again.
What is it about Batman and Robin that you like?
Please.
I mean, it's just terribly campy, like in an evocative, like 60s Batman kind of way. Like, it's just so terrible in that way. And if you watch it like that, instead of like the serious, you know, universe it comes from, like with Val Kilmer and Michael Keaton, then it's spectacular. It's just awesome. You can't help but laugh at the bat nipples, you know.
I don't know. I watched the 60s TV show. I'm a huge fan of the 60s TV show. I find it to be campy and funny. There was nothing funny about Batman and Robin.
I feel like Batman and Robin
I think it missed on all the humor points that it tried to hit.
What about all of Mr. Freeze's hilarious lines?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it missed on all the humor it tried to hit.
See, yeah, that's...
Take these and call me in the morning.
So this is where
that was touching.
Yeah, this is where I think that maybe age has a big factor to it. We talk about Mortal Kombat, we're out of high school, I'm like, gotta get the soundtrack. I feel like if you were young enough watching this, those seemed good. That seemed funny. But, like, for me, the fact that, like, Schwarzenegger and O'Donnell didn't even have any scenes together. They were never on, like, they had scenes together, but they were never in a shooting at the same day. Like, there's some structurally messed up things about that movie that make it so that, how can you like it? How can you watch this? So do you just, like find yourself, like, hurling back in time and thinking, yeah, well, I remember when I used to like this?
No, it's like I came from a household where, you know, like, we may or may not have had a cracked cable box and, you know, watch a lot of the pay-per-view movies that they showed over and over and over again. So, like, you know, that movie or Happy Gilmore, I saw 150 times when I was a little kid.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, I don't know if it's so much about the age, because on a list of movies that I'm almost afraid to say that I do like, I do have Batman Forever on it, which was the first Schumacher film.
Yeah, I actually
think that is, like, empirically a good movie, though. Like, I think it made money, and it was actually mixed positive reviews.
Yeah, but, I mean, over time, there's been a general outcry of how terrible it really is.
Yeah, I think overall people don't like that movie.
I think that movie was retroactively made worse by Batman and Robin, but probably. I don't think it was a good movie to begin with.
And, you know, to continue the theme of that's Batman Titanic in that realm, because they made it much grander with all the set dressing and stuff like that. They made, like, these huge cities of miniatures. They went crazy with it. There was that little bit of a hint of a love story. You had the Seal song.
And, well, I mean, the other thing, too, is you still had a little bit of that Tim Burton flair in it, too, with him being producer.
There was
You know, when we had Arkham, and even though we didn't get major scenes with Jeremiah Arkham, you know, there were cutscenes, which I actually recently saw, which was totally Tim Burton-esque, and the fact that he actually, René Auberjonois, looks like Tim Burton playing the Doctor.
Mm.
Like, there were cool little things in there that I appreciated, and it was kind of an interesting transfer, like a passing of styles.
It definitely marked the end of something.
Yeah.
Remind me again who the villains were in Batman Forever.
Two-Face and the Riddler.
What is it about those villains you enjoyed in their portrayal in that film?
I actually liked Tommy Lee Jones playing super over the top.
I can't believe you're the same. How are you even... That's so.
That was the camp factor that I thought worked for that movie. Where the camp in Batman and Robin did not work at all.
You didn't feel that the Riddler and Two-Face in that movie were of both, like, both those actors were portraying the Joker.
No, I have problems with the Riddler. The Riddler is one of my favorite villains of all time, and I don't think I didn't like Jim Carrey as the Riddler. I'll admit that. Mm-hmm. But there was
it's not fair to lump them together.
I will say that Jim Carrey would have made an excellent Riddler, but for the choices made in that film, and if that makes any sense.
Yes.
No, but I've seen him in some like cerebral, crazy roles that, like, I think would be interesting.
Maybe, but
Looking back, and again being a fan of the '60s TV show, I think Tommy Lee Jones' portrayal of Two-Face would have been a perfect Two-Face for that series if they had ever put him in it.
Agreed.
And there was a straight shot to the '60s show with the holy rusted metal line from Robin.
That was so ridiculously forced.
Pretty bad.
God. I did not realize this episode would make us dislike each other so much, but I really genuinely dislike you. All right. Well, so I guess tonally different. I'm going to bring this one up. You remember a 1996 film called Dragonheart?
Oh,
that is on my list of hated movies.
Really?
I despise it. I actually, it's the only time... No, the second time I ever actually walked out of a theater, and I've only walked out of a theater twice.
So, Dragonheart, shut up, is the touching tale of, I forgot who the actors were, but it was Sean Connery as the dragon, and
amount of potential in this movie.
It's not Beau Bridges.
It's Jeff Bridges. No, it's not even. It's neither of them. It's,
Quaid?
It's Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. That's it.
I don't normally mix my Bridges and Quaids, but when I do, it's a terrible reaction.
That, by the way, is my favorite breakfast cereal, Bridges and Quaids.
Please, somebody Photoshop that and post it as a comment on this podcast. The story is about an intelligent speaking dragon. Obviously, Sean Connery's playing the dragon. And it's sort of like an emotional... I'm telling the story on this one because I'm not sure if so many people know it. It's a fantasy story about this knight and the last living dragon and how they have to work together to save a kingdom that's becoming evil because of an evil prince that the dragon had once saved when he was young. And I love this movie. I have the poster of this movie. I had it in my room as a kid. I brought it to college with me and hung it up, I think, all 4 years I was in college. Dragonheart was my jam. And I can accept that most people haven't seen it or don't know anything about it. I'm outraged that you hate it. I'm really outraged because, like, why you could just not watched it?
No, you're right, easily. And that's why I walked out, because while I was in the theater, all I kept thinking was I could be home watching Dragon Slayer right now.
Which is a much better movie. I do. I'm not going to argue that Dragon Slayer was a wonderful film.
If I'm comparing the two films,
but like,
because Peter McNichol should always be your romantic lead.
And if we're going to do top three dragon movies, I'm going to put Reign of Fire in there. But that's not to say that Dragon Heart wasn't excellent. It was indeed excellent.
I just found it super boring, to be honest.
There are lines in that I could probably still quote. Hold on. Let me try. A knight is sworn to honor. His wrath undoes the wicked. His strength upholds the weak. There's like a chant that Quaid Bridges has to say while he's like helping this kid. And I remember most of it. It was good. The dragon used his wing to get the rain off them. It was cool.
I'm happy. I feel don't about
condescend
Dragonheart
me. Do
as
not
the
condes-
way that you feel about Batman Forever.
Do not
that's
condescend
all.
To me. I'm happy for you.
See, to me, the problem with Dragonheart is the wasted potential.
Oh,
I mean, that plot that you described is the dullest thing I can imagine. If they had taken like the premise of the first like 15, 20 minutes of the movie... where Randy Quaid, or whatever Quaid it is, I love how we can't remember.
It's Dennis.
Dennis.
Where Quaid is the drunken, fallen hard times knight mm-hmm. who has teamed up with the Last Dragon to
run the scam.
Yeah, scam villages. That was great.
Well, you'll be happy to know.
The dragon attacks. And
you'll be happy to know I made a midquill fan fiction of this that is about 2.5 hours of just that one establishing shot over and over again in different situations. And I'm going to try to crowdsource a campaign setting that's called the Dragonheart Chronicles. That's all real. I'm not just making
this up. Frank, I will play that campaign with you.
Good.
If you DM.
Bing. All right. Anybody else have a real heart jerker?
So picture it. Like 1985, someone walks into an executive's office and goes, "Hey, all right, so what's huge right now? Sylvester Stallone. Huh. What if he's this truck driving, you know, father who attempts to win back the love of his son through arm wrestling.
Stolen cable. I think I had the same broken, jailbroken cable box that you guys did. Because
why did you swallow the lead there and like not hit on he has to save his son through arm wrestling?
No, because it's like that tearjerker, like when you know Ron Howard's pitching the pie movie in The Simpsons. Like,
yeah.
Hey Pope, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What in your mind defines a tearjerker?
There's some jerking going on.
I guess crying while having fun.
Okay.
But I can't imagine how this happened, but like I just remember, you know, being a little kid and you know, you turn on channel 11 and there's like the crappy movies that come on after cartoons and on Saturdays and just being entranced by this movie.
How this movie happened is easy. That was Sly. We love your Rocky picture. Boxing is fabulous. But we need to expand.
I did Rambo.
How about a wrestling movie? I'm not doing a wrestling movie. Okay, okay. I hear you. How about arm wrestling? Okay, I like it.
I love the hell out of this movie. I don't care what any of you have to say. It's great. There's music from Asia in the soundtrack. Sammy Hagar features a lot in it. Frank Stallone is a guest there because of contracts and packed with Satan. I don't know. Yes, it's weird. Also, the little kid in this, who I had to look up his name, David Mendenhall. But like, I totally recognize. Like, he was in a bunch of movies at this point in the 80s. He was like a pretty big kid actor in these, and his list of films, like he was in Space Raiders, he was in Transformers the movie, They Still Call Me Bruce, which is not a movie anyone should watch. It is interesting. He's in a lot of things. I thought he was the kid from Black Beauty, but I think he just looks adjacent to that child.
There were a lot of adjacent-looking kids.
Yeah, he's vaguely Elliot from E.T.-ish in that range, if you know what I'm talking about.
Not super cute that you steal the view away from Sylvester Stallone, but right. Like cute enough to be there.
Yes, because people who are in the theater drooling over Sylvester Stallone might end up wanting to raise the boy child. So we have to like judge that.
Just think about all those macro shots of biceps.
Mm, yes. And then the part where he turns his baseball cap, which gives him powers, and then he does a thing with his thumb, which somehow is like it makes him a better arm wrestler. There is so much. The fact that I think Community, which I'm rewatching now, did an early episode, which was just that. And I'm like, why? I thought I was the only one who saw this. Good. Yeah, I definitely count that one.
You know what sticks out in my mind more than anything else from Over the Top?
What?
Number one, the action figures.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
They made action figures of this damn movie. The arm wrestling arena playset.
No way.
Yes. They had the official kid-sized version of the ridiculously elaborate professional setup that they had. You know, you've got the bar that your left hand has to grip, mm-hmm. and then the pad for your arm, and these sensors that tell when you're actually planted the opponent's hand.
Oh, well.
All right. You're all stupid. This is the best movie that, for some reason, certain people don't like. And I think it hits all the marks, right? Because it's somewhat popular. It was like it was a wide appeal. It wasn't like an indie film where people just didn't see it. And at the same time, I think most people say they don't like it. But I honestly loved this movie. 1993, Last Action Hero.
Oh.
I'm with you.
Yes?
Yeah.
Come on.
I remember seeing it originally, not liking it.
Okay.
And I went back and revisited it a few years back, and I fell asleep.
All right.
But then I went back and tried it again because I was just tired that day.
That sunk into the swamp and burned down and sunk into the swamp. This is where this is going. This is a Monty Python
routine. Upon third viewing, no, actually, it wasn't bad. It wasn't as bad as I had remembered it being. I actually kind of enjoyed it.
It was amazing.
I wouldn't say it was amazing, but...
I am.
I remember being a little kid watching that and thinking, like, if that golden ticket was real, that would be the best thing in the whole world.
Yes. So the basic premise of this is an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. He is a character, a well-known action hero character, just like sort of Arnold was. I think his name was Jack Slater, and he was in an action film franchise that this little kid, who we might as well call Little Kid, I don't remember his name, and I'm not going to try to remember his name.
I mean, he himself labeled himself as plucky comic relief.
Right. He is a big movie fan. He's got the dream life, although he's got like a, not an abusive life, but whatever. Like he's kind of like a latchkey kid. He spends all his time in a movie theater. And while there, they get a they find a magical ticket from Houdini. Describing this is terrible because it's a good movie. They take Houdini's ticket, and that allows them to enter the world of the movie. And in the world of the movie, this over the top 80s, 90s action hero world, this kid is very genre savvy. The film is extremely meta, where like everything is a reference to filmmaking at the time.
Schwarzenegger plays himself in the movie on top of being the Jack whatever character.
Yes, yes. And there's even a scene where like they go to a video rental store, which existed at the time, and the kid's trying to prove to Jack Slater that he is a character in the film, that he's played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he sees a cardboard cutout for the Terminator.
That was the best part of the movie.
And in the cardboard cutout for the movie The Terminator, Sylvester Stallone was the Terminator, which was a nod to the rivalry, whatever, between Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger at the time. I mean, so I'm watching this film, and I'm not enjoying it in a postmodern, ironic sense. I am saying, this is an amazing concept. This is really well executed. One of my early experiences with like meta filmmaking in the cinema, I was deep into it. And it's Schwarzenegger at his height, so like, or at one of his many heights. So I'm like, this film will be great. And instead, everyone panned it. Everyone hated this movie.
Wasn't this like the movie that like kind of pushed him off the tip? Like where he was on top of the world.
This is where we started to see the decline. Yeah, because this was after Terminator 2, and this was supposed to be the next big thing after T2.
And you would think that Twins or Junior would have done that, but...
Yeah, absolutely. Much worse movies in this.
But this was apparently the line.
This was the line that America was like, or the world was like, no more. This is ridiculous.
Well, we can accept that Arnold is pregnant. But
well, I also think it was part of the deal where people were tracking box office at this point, too. And people wound up hearing what the movie cost versus what it actually made. So everyone just said, oh, well, this movie is definitely a bomb. And they just all bought into all the media telling them that it was terrible, too.
Yeah, and there was a lot of interesting things that I'm just reading. Apparently, Universal moved Jurassic Park to June 11th because this movie was coming.
No way.
Yeah. It had the first advertisement placed on a space-going rocket.
What?
It was like the second biggest movie, I think, at the time after Waterworld or something like that, wasn't it?
film,
I think Waterworld was definitely later, right?
There was so much negative publicity after a rough cut of the film was shown in May that Sony destroyed the test cards. But word of mouth proved to be catastrophic for the film.
Oh, wow.
This article. I don't know why people of the time hated it so much. Because there was real garbage out in the theater at that time. There was a lot of crap movies. Part of the movies that this movie made fun of were like deep into their sequels and boring. Like Lethal Weapons After a While and all these, you know, these gritty crime drama kind of movies. You'd think that people would want to see like a little bit of levity, but no. The villain in this movie had a glass eye. and he had a bunch of glass eyes he can swap in for effect, including a happy face one and one that was a bomb. I thought that was so cool. Everyone thinks it's dumb.
I think it was terrible.
I can't. No, I'm not wrong. You're wrong. Your opinion was wrong.
I saw the movie, though. I don't know how they spent $85 million on it, I appreciated every penny they did.
Schwarzenegger's
most of it was glass eyes.
Yeah, it was a huge glass eye budget. John Practice, who's the villain in this is really deep, played by the same actor who was the antagonist that killed Mozart in Amadeus, and they reference it in the film.
Yeah.
He killed Mozart! And I'm like, what? How you did? Like, I never expected, certainly not in a big blockbuster film. I can't believe people don't like this movie. If someone doesn't shut me up, I'm going to talk about it for another hour.
That it was said 10 or more years after that movie came out.
Yeah. Oh, God. There is Robert Prosky is in this. F. Murray Abraham is in this. Art Carney, his last film.
Oh, man.
Don't say it like it was sad. You were like, yeah, that was cool. Oh, yeah, last film. That's
I would have been better off if R. Carney's last film was The Lost Boys.
Yeah, that's as pitiful as Raul Julia.
Ooh. I just realized R. Carney was
What was
the
wrong
Lost
with
Boys.
The Burning Fields?
I just realized it was him. I did not piece it together
he
until
had the last
minute.
Line of the movie.
I did not piece that together until just now. Wow. Anthony Quinn was in this. Come on. This is so... Tina Turner...
Thunderdome.
Well, there you go.
Thunderdome, Frank.
Frank, don't oversell us.
Come on. All right, so out of all the movies we talked about here, and keeping in mind Danny DeVito, longtime collaborator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, was the voice of Whiskers, the cartoon cat police detective, who was put in the movie and was possibly responsible for at least $5 million of that budget. Keeping all that in mind, Ian McKellen was Death.
Okay.
Huh.
Bless him.
Oh, there's something.
What? Ian McKellen. Ian Magneto was Death in this movie. Death. He was a...
I thought Gandalf.
Or yeah, all right.
Ian McKellen was in The Shadow, and that was a bad movie, too.
I don't know about that.
Hammer. God bless.
I can't deal with this. I really can't. If someone doesn't stop me, I'm going to keep talking about this. I have no way to end this podcast.
Frank,
but
stop.
To talk about
this podcast is over.
So, of all the movies we talked about, what do you think is the worst, like the guiltiest pleasure of these movies? The one that you should be most ashamed. Like Con Air is right out.
Oh.
Too many people like that movie. It's a good movie. It's garbage, but it's also good.
Pope has to shame himself for Batman and Robin, hands down.
I was going to say it's most ashamed, really, for Over the Top, because I don't know anybody who besides me or my brother who liked that movie.
Yeah, I think it's definitely between Over the Top and Howard the Duck.
Really? It's not? You guys are... it's okay that I liked Last Action Hero?
No, but I think Over the Top
but
is
much
worse.
But we're talking
worse.
About the other movies.
Really? Really? You'll really? Give me that? Yeah. I'm gonna take it. You telling me that Last Action Hero was less bad than Over the Top or... what was the other garbage you said?
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck? You're gonna say that? You're gonna officially say that?
Yeah.
I need a round table of yeses if that were true.
I don't know. I don't know about the Howard the Duck thing. I could probably watch that more like I watch
but
Last
yeah,
Action Hero.
Telling
Over
you.
The Top, definitely. I'd rather watch Last Action Hero.
Wow.
Over the Top.
Over the Top.
Over the
yes,
top.
I win. Oh, yeah. Wow. Awful.
Yes.
So
hang your head in shame. You win.
Sure. So in Last Action Hero, would that mean that Arnold Schwarzenegger was playing the character of Sylvester Stallone's character in Over the Top? Or is it how does it mean? Jean-Claude
Let's all go to the lobby. To get ourselves a treat.
If you like this podcast and others like it, please subscribe to us on non-productive.com. We've got lots of great content for you all the time. Not all of it's garbage. Some of it's actually pretty good. And back us on Patreon and follow us on social media. That's how the kids do it these days. Thank you and good night.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.